here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host with the most, but tonight I am passing the host microphone to my very good friend Diane Kane, who interviewed me about 3 or 4 years ago when we premiered the Revolutions album. She did such a fantastic job. I asked her to interview me about a new music video that we released. Please welcome Diane Kane. I'm going to pass it over to you.
Hello from the East Coast.
That's right.
My West Coast.
You got the driver. You're in the driver's seat now. So this is your show for the next hour.
Oh my God, Nikki, thank you for blessing me with this opportunity to interview one of the most inspirational people in music. You are the
I'm trying.
You never stop.
You
are always creating. You're always in the studio. You're always posting your stuff. You're doing songwriting workshops in live at Hotel Cafe in LA.
You got to be on one of these bills when you come to LA. You got to let me know.
You are just, I'm dying to come back there actually.
Well, whenever you plan it, just let me know a couple weeks in advance and I'll let you know if the dates can align and we'll make it happen. But I definitely would love to have you on a bill.
Dude, I have songs.
Okay. I know you do. You're a great singer too. You know what I love about you is like, you're such a passionate artist. You really are a true artist. You can act, you can sing, you can write. You live it like it's on your sleeve, artist heart and everything on the sleeve. And that's really what it's all about. This is why we connect, because that's the artist life. It is not an easy road. It is never certain. It is always about like going through the mud and then getting to a beautiful view and savoring life in such a beautiful way, in some ways, more ways than I think people notice in their own kind of path. But it is never an easy, it's not an easy road. It's like, you know, it's just one of those things that I know you know what I'm talking about, but it is when, you know, the difference between something being a hobby that is fun. I heard Adam Duritz say this from the Counting Crows. He said, when art is a hobby, it's super fun. And the difference between art and being an artist is you're not having fun all the time and you're still doing it. And I was like, oh, I love that, because it's the truth. It's like when you're an artist, it's not like you're doing an after school class or you're doing an extracurricular activity. You're living the life because you love it so much more than anything on the planet that you're willing to go through the parts that are not fun just to keep creating and take it that seriously, like it is your life pulse, you know?
Well, we have no choice, right?
Yeah, we have. It's weird though. It's like people think that's easy sometimes. It's not easy, you know? It's like, I would say it's actually harder in a lot of ways, because you have like so many peaks and valleys when you're doing it, and you have to create. Most of the time, artists have to create work or creations out of thin air. It has to come out of nothing, and you have to stir the pots and you have to finance it, usually, especially now. So it's like just not an easy road. It's not an easy path.
Well, I'm not going to delve into the dark side of reality at this moment, but I do take inspiration from people who are unaffected and don't allow themselves to be intimidated by what's going on in our country right now. How do you stay motivated?
I'll tell you, it's really funny that you say that. You just gave me chills with this first question. You asked great questions. This is why I asked you to do it. You know, the thing is, I think the dichotomy of what's happening in the world versus what's happening within, I think, people that are creating art is we're kind of not totally ignoring it. We have to be aware of what's happening in the world, but we have to shut it out to a point to kind of like allow a little bit of sanity and kind of relief from what is happening in the news. And at the end of the day, it's like what people don't realize is the needle moves, but it really doesn't. It never moves like this, even though the media makes it look like it does. And there can be like apocalyptic things that are happening in the world. But really, it's like, when you think about the number of people in the world, there's so many good things that are also happening that it sometimes balances some of that. So the way I focus on everything is like, if I can control the things that are within me and in front of me and around me, then that's all I should really put my energy and focus on. And everything else that I can't control, I just try not to waste the time to do it, because I think it's valuable time that I could be creating or kind of digging in or even exploring art to understand, you know, like things that are within me, you know? So I think all artists kind of feel what's going on, you know, with how America's kind of becoming an oligarchy instead of a democracy. Things are changing so fast. But at the same time, I know a lot of artists are making great art, and really that's the world I want to spend most of my time in, more than any of the media, politics, or bullshit. There's certain things I'm trying to react less to what's happening in the world. And I think it's easy for the media to get a response out of us. And I think if we kind of pay less attention to some of that, then there's a lot of power in that too. It's like if we are disengaged from some of that media to create content that can actually spread love and positive energy and light in the world, then you realize that's really going to control and be more powerful than, you know, what's happening. So I just feel like sometimes you got to shut out the bad, you got to shut out the darkness and let in the light.
That's true. And I think people in the world at large need artists now more than ever.
Absolutely.
I keep telling my friends, like, don't stop doing what you're doing. We are needed now, whether yep. we're visual media art, you know, visual artists, painters,
yes,
musical artists, actors, people. I know I've been watching movies again. Yes. You know, just like getting, that's how I get my mind off stuff.
It's like escapism is such a powerful thing. It's like, what a beautiful thing that we can create stuff that people can escape from all the circus of what is going on in the world, even if it's for a couple minutes, even if it's for an hour, even if, whatever it is. And I think that's when you realize that there is a sense of humanity in that, that kind of binds us all together. It's like, we're all like concerned about our families. We're all concerned about, you know, having success in life or having good health or like making that the focus. And it's like, it's really amazing if we can distract people from some of that media that's probably distracting us from being, you know, closer to our families or being focused more on our families and our health and all the things that bring us good things, you know?
Well, they say they want us to roll over and feel like, oh, there's so much coming at me, I can't do anything about it. And the thing to do is not to do that.
Yes.
Just keep living your life in a joyful way.
Yes.
To find one or two things that you do well, whether it's writing songs or bringing that to the public, or, you know, writing poems or sending postcards or writing to your congresspeople or whatever, and do it well. Whatever you do well, organize community stuff, put on shows, fundraise for your favorite candidate, whatever, or just fundraise in general.
Right.
We're going to need.
It's, you know, it's also like, you know, California, you know what California went through with all the fires. And it's like, it happened right after, like, we knew, you know, we had a new president, all these things. And it's like, the whole world was watching us. And I mean, I know 13 people, probably more, that lost homes, that lost everything, from every demographic, from every political party, from every generation. I know musicians that lost their homes. I know people, lawyers, I know. I mean, it's just crazy. So I think sometimes one of the like amazing things about life is you see how many people also helped, also created, you know, donation centers. I personally also donated to so many people's GoFundMes. Like, it just broke my heart. And it's like, the end of the day, that's what life and being alive and being a human is really about. And it's not about any of the politics that divide us. It's not about any of the religious stuff that divides us. It's about the things that connect us. And those things exist to divide us and separate us. So I think it's really important to just try to find things that give you love and give you light. And the funny thing, you know, we're going to talk about this animated music video that I released yesterday. And one of the reasons we released it, especially with the timing of it, was there needs to be more love and light and, you know, in a dark time. And it's like, we came out of the fires. We were going to release it in January, but we didn't because releasing a video about a spark when there were fires was like, oh my God, we shouldn't do that. You know, like it would sound, you know what I mean? But I mean, you have to think about it.
The message is there. The message is there. And, and I love the video. I'm just dying to ask you.
Yeah.
Come up with the concept. I mean, it's really, I'm looking at it on my phone, folks. That's what I'm.
It's awesome.
I'm curious as to, I kept thinking about John, not Basquiat.
Jean-Baptiste. Yes.
Who did that great movie. It was just all animated about soul.
Yes.
And I thought about that when I saw your video.
Oh, that's awesome. What a great comparison. That's
wow. You know, like that is so... everybody can identify. Everybody can look at it. Everybody can see, you know, this beautiful, this little blue bug.
Yeah, he's awesome.
What made you think of that? Like, how did you do this? Who did you work with? How did
I love
the concept?
That's a great question. And I'll say there's two people that were major factors in that. The first, you know, I did a music video on the Santa Monica Pier.
Right.
And you know, we were with 100 dancers, and we was 100 person crew, and we had dancers, and we had you know, silk aerialists, and we did like kind of like a circus on the Santa Monica Pier. And it was a 1-day shoot. It was a lot of planning, and we shot all day, about maybe 6 or 7 hours. And then, you know, we edited it for a month, and when we released it, it was kind of amazing because we had 100 people in the shoot, and 100 people were reposting the video. And you know, like I said, hey, if you guys can watch it, if you could post it, that would mean a lot, but I won't expect it because, you know, I understand. And everybody like reposted it and shared it. And it was so amazing because I saw it go from zero to, we got 8,000 real views in 1 day with no advertising, with nothing else. And I know how hard it is to even get that kind of, you know, scope on the internet, you know? So afterwards, my father, of all people, he was like, you got to do something that nobody's going to see coming for your next video. And I said, like what? And he said, you should do something animated. And I said, I have no idea how any of that works. That doesn't, you know, I couldn't even imagine. And so I made a Facebook post the next day. I said, anyone know any animators? I'm thinking about doing something animated for a future project. That's all I wrote. I didn't say what it was for. I didn't know what song would be for. And what was amazing was, I had 30 people, maybe more, maybe around 40 people comment and tag an animator or somebody in that industry. And I started looking at all these portfolios, people that were just animators in the business, people that were doing comics, people were doing graphics, like just really cool stuff. Everyone was amazing. Honestly, everyone was amazing. And one of my friends, Lene, she's been a fan of the band for a long time, Lene Shuddy. And she said, hey, I've got a friend named Jacob Patrick. He's come to your House of Blues shows before. You should definitely consider him. He's an amazing animator. He's worked on Jimmy Neutron. He's worked on all these animated series. He's just a super creative guy. And I was like, cool. So I looked at his portfolio and it was awesome. It had a bunch of great stuff. So I narrowed it down to 5 animators. And I said, okay, I love all of your work. Here's the dilemma. I have no idea what to do for an animated music video. So I'm going to give you 3 songs to choose from. And why don't you come up with a story or a concept or like some kind of idea that you think you could see that these songs, you know, influence. And everybody came up with really great ideas. In fact, there was not a single bad idea. I was like, these are all really cool. And I could see the ideas visually. That's how creative these, you know, these visual artists were. Every time they described something, I was like, I could see this instantly. It was like really kind of a gift that they were able to say something, you know, and describe it in such detail that I could see the animation, you know. And Jacob, he sent me a little blurb, and the song that one of the songs of the three, there were three songs. It was Spark, it was Silent Tears, and I think the third one was Broken Roads. Those are the three songs that I sent to people. There are three songs that were off the same record that I did the fadeaway music video for. And I was like, oh, these are really kind of like very picturesque titles and stories for the songs, and they're all different. And when Jacob sent me three blurbs, I liked his other two, but for Spark, he said, I've got an idea about a firefly that can't light up. And I dropped every other idea right after that. I said, I think one of the things you learn as a creator too is like, be at the mercy of a great idea always, you know? So as soon as I read that, I said, Jacob, that's it. Like, can we do this? And how long would it take? And he said, oh, I think it'll take about a year. So I'm like, okay, cool. So let's do this. So he and I met and we talked through the concept, and he's like, man, this is a great idea. I think we could really run with this. And within about 2 weeks, he actually sent me like, he drew a very early design of Spark that really kind of looks very similar to what we ended up using. And he did a short storyboard of the whole music video with just like little scenes that he drew and just kind of like made a little short video for it. And I was like, okay, I see what he sees, and I love this idea, just because the song Spark and you know, even the how it came about, I want to talk about that for a second if you don't mind. One of the cool things was, you know, I'm a huge fan of Dave Matthews Band. That's like huge, huge, huge fan of Dave Matthews Band. My drummer, yes, it's like a big influence on me. And my drummer at the time, he called me and he said, hey, man, I've got something really crazy and bizarre to tell you. But he said, Butch Taylor from the Dave Matthews Band moved next door to me. He's dating my next door neighbor and they're living together. And he's off the tour. He's off the road. And he said, I ended up talking to him about you. And he asked to hear your music. And he said he really dug it. And he wants you to come over and just see if we can jam. And I literally was on the phone, jaw to the floor. I said, are you messing with me? And I said, that's so cruel if you are. And he's like, I'm not messing with you. He's like, I think, you know, he's like, we'll just see what happens, you know? And so I went over to his house and Butch was there. And I remember he was with glasses and he kind of had his glasses on. He's like, hey, man. And I was like, oh, God, this is so crazy. Like, I can't believe it. I said, I've seen you so many times on so many stadiums. I said, it's such an honor to meet you like this. And, you know, and he's like, yeah, man, I listen to your songs and I really think you've got just a cool sound and vibe. And I said, of course you do, because your band was the band that influenced a lot of these songs. So, you know, we started playing and I said, I've got a song that I think we should record. And we started just jamming on it. It was called He Said, She Said. And we just did this really cool jam and it was amazing. It was just drums, keys, acoustic guitar. And I was just doing scratch vocals and there was just this great synergy between the three of us. And it was really beautiful because it was, you know, like, you can be in a situation where people overplay, oversing, any of those things. And it was like this really beautiful, like just poignant place of restraint. That's the best way I can take it. It's like, it's we all were playing for the music and nobody was playing anything superfluous. It was just very beautiful and egoless. And it was just, it was really powerful, you know. And I remember I was showing the demo of that when I left to a friend of mine. I called him. I said, "You got to hear this." And I played it for him, and I started weeping because I was like, "Man, this is somebody I've always wanted to work with, and now we just did this. This is crazy."
Yeah.
And so I called Butch the next day. I said, "Man, I think we should do a record. You know, even if it's just an EP. I just did a record," and he was like, "Great." So every day for about a couple weeks, I would just we didn't know what we were going to play. I didn't know what I was going to record with him. I was like, anything could appease him. And so every day I would just come in and I would just noodle with something that I think would work. And I would see if something would catch his ear. And one day I was just riffing on Spark and he was like, "Whoa, what's that?" And I was like, "Oh, it's so funny that you say that, 'cause I just wrote this and I think it could be cool, but I didn't know if like it would be something that you'd be into, 'cause it's very, very much like a Dave Matthews kind of thing, or, you know, it's got some elements of it." And he's like, "No, it's really, really cool." And so every day we just did these songs, and every time I would play something that I thought was something that could work, he would be like, "What is that?" And I'm like, and you know, it's just like random noodling. So all of a sudden he would catch the riff and he'd say, "Wait, what is that?" And then we did the whole record like that. So Spark was something that was, he was the first time, I think it was the first song or the second song that we recorded where he really lit up. He was like, "What is that?" You know, when we started jamming. And so I was like, "Oh, this would be a great first song for the record." So we did this whole record called Solo Sessions, and we had no idea how we were going to push this song, how we were going to push the record. And then we ended up doing the Fade Away video. So when, you know, Fade Away was the last song on the record. And so when Jacob Patrick said, "A Firefly That Can't Light Up," I was like, "Oh, it'd be kind of cool to do the first song of the record and have music videos kind of bookend the whole record." And so Jacob Patrick said, "You know, I've got an animator in India, and let me see what his timeline can be." And so he reached out to this animator in India, and this is the crazy part of the story. So he started sending me updates like for the first, I'd say, 6-7 months, and we were seeing scenes and we were seeing all of these things realized, and it would take a long time. Like, the one thing about animation that many people don't understand is the amount of detail and time it takes to create something. So, you know, he would say, "Hey, man, we made some progress." And I'd be so excited thinking I would see a minute and 20 seconds of footage. And it would be 7 seconds. It would be 4 seconds. It would be such a small amount of time. And I was like, "Wow, this took 3 weeks. Okay, I understand. This is going to be a process." Okay. So the really sad thing about this is we didn't hear back from this gentleman in India for about 3 to 5 months. And so we were like wondering, "Oh man, maybe he just took on something else. Maybe he lost interest." And then all of a sudden, somebody from his company called Jacob and said, "Hey, we want to tell you that," I think his name was Rakesh. He said, "Rakesh passed away. He had liver failure and he died. And he said, if you'd like us to take on the video, we'd love to do it. Just let us know." And then he hung up and didn't leave a phone number, didn't leave an email, didn't leave any contact info, because Jacob had Rakesh's contact info and that's it. So he tried emailing Rakesh. No email response came back. He tried calling Rakesh's phone thinking somebody would pick it up. Nobody picked it up. He left messages until the phone got disconnected. And so Jacob came to me and said, "We've hit a really bad, obstacle in this process." Yeah. Which is crazy because, like, you don't think anybody's going to die when you're making or collaborating with something. And we have no idea. I think it was something out of the blue. He didn't know his health was bad. It was like one of those things. Like, he just had liver failure and it just happened so suddenly. So, you know, I said, "Well, don't worry. We'll figure some kind of pivot." As you know, you being an artist yourself, you know, this path is about, oh my God, something's not going right. How do we pivot? How do we find solutions? How do we make what we've got and make it work? And that's the beautiful thing about art. So I said, "Let's just wait and see what falls into place." Fast forward another 3 months, and I went to a car wash of all places, and I think I was wearing a Star Wars shirt. And I sit next to this, you know, big German guy, and he said, "Oh, you're wearing a Star Wars shirt." I said, "Yeah, I love Star Wars." I said, "Are you a big fan of Star Wars?" He said, "Oh, yeah, that's what I do for my work. I'm a visual effects supervisor." I said, "Oh, that's amazing." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Have you done anything that I've seen?" And he said, "I did Alice in Wonderland." I did, and he started naming all these movies that were very cool. And I was like, "Oh, I've seen all these movies. These are awesome." And I said, "Oh, where do you live?" And he said, "Oh, I live in Koreatown." I said, "I live in Koreatown." And I said, "We must be neighbors. That's crazy." I said, "Well, let's go out to lunch sometime." You know, like that was it. I was like, "Oh, this guy's in this creative world." And so we went out to lunch and we were talking. And I said, "It's so crazy that you're in visual effects, because I've been working with an animator on making an animated music video." And he was like, "Oh, that's cool." He's like, "Oh, let me see it." So I showed it to him and I said, "You know, I got some bad news, though. We lost the animator. The animator passed away." And he said, "Oh, man, that's terrible." I said, do you happen to know any animation teams or animators?" He said, "I do. I know a lot, actually. And they're kind of all over the world." He said, "The first company that comes to my mind is a company called Anabrain, and they're in India." And so he said, "Let me email them." And he emailed them. And within a week, we were on a conference call with Jacob, with Andreas Jablanka, who's the visual effects supervisor, and Mark D'Souza from Anabrain. And we were on this conference call, and they were like, "Listen, we love this music video. We have nothing that looks like this. We'd love to, you know, help do, you know, elevate this and you know, complete this music video." They said, "The bad news is we have to start all over." And I said, "Really?" And they said, "Yeah, we can't use any of these assets because everything's copywritten whenever we do something. And also, if this guy passed away, we've got no contact with him to continue the process. So there's no way we can use any of this. We have to start all over." So that which is like, you know, the most insane. We're 2 years in. Year and 9 months in. So it was like, "Oh my God, is this ever going to happen?" You know? So we ended up, you know, we marinated on it for a week. And I said, "I think this is our option. We just start all over and we do this." And Jacob said, "Yeah, I think it's going to come out even better because these guys have more animators, more of a team." And the funny thing is, I was like, "How long do you think it'll take?" And they said, 6 months. And I said, "Okay, let's see if we can get it done." And it took about 2 more years to get it finished.
I was gonna say 6 months means 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. And it was kind of like the money pit. Like, "Oh,
how about if we take a look at it and then we can talk about it on the other side, how you got this done with serendipitously with these amazing people who are in the business and halfway around the world."
I love that. Good call. Well, here's Spark. We released this yesterday. Enjoy.
Whenever I'm in trouble, don't you count me out, 'cause I've been wondering what the fuss is all about. And lately I can see I'm just a face in the crowd, with the melody in mind trying to scream out loud. Do-do-do. It's a lonesome world that I've come from, but only I can see the possibility of breaking down the walls of better harmony. The time has come to realize.
wonder what the fuss is all about. And lately I can see I'm just a face in the crowd. With the melody in mind, trying to scream out loud. Do-do-do.
Yes. Look, gives me chills. It's so awesome.
I love it. I love that. I love that his friends got stuck in the jar. That stupid guy got them in the jar. And he came and he lit up and he saved them.
You know what's really cool too is Jacob put my initials. He told the animation team to put my initials on the mason jar. So if you look closely at the mason jar, as soon as they leave, you see NK mason jar. So it's kind of funny. It's really cool.
Oh, we're going to have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, it's like these little, you know, Easter eggs. Like, that's the cool thing about this. It's like there's so many little things about it that.
Oh, my. That was incredible. They did an amazing job.
Right? One of the things I wanted to show is, like, just how much detail goes into this. And, like, they would send me models of, you know, the wings. You know, let's pull up the model of the wings if we can real quick, Sam. So they would send me something like this, and, you know, they would say, you know, how do these wings look? And I'm like, they look great, you know, but it's like this is such a, like, primitive version of what the wings ended up looking like, you know, in the final kind of thing. And this is, we had one character named Chubbs. We had another guy named Buff. And then the female character's name is Sparkles. And then obviously the main character's name is Spark. So, you know, why don't we show let's show one of the mood JPEGs of all four characters, Sam.
Wow.
Well, that's one of the environments. Hold on. That's another environment. It says mood JPEG. It's of all the four fireflies.
So they checked with you first before finalizing an idea.
Yeah, and they have to, like, you know, basically they have to basically approve.
You ever say to them, I don't really like that color, or
you know, I didn't say much stuff like that because I mean I also wanted them to feel like creative, you know, so
yeah,
just make it look as good as you think it'll look. And it's so funny too because Jacob was so detail oriented as well. He would give these emails of notes of, like, little, you know, intricacies. Oh, the wings aren't flapping right, or oh, the wings can have this, you know, contour to it. And I was like, oh wow, I didn't even notice that. Like, we, like, don't notice certain things. So here's an idea of, like, they sent me, you know, kind of like a model, like, hey, these are like 3D models of the fireflies. And it was so cool to just see even something like this. I was like, oh wow, this is like a really full sketch of the character. So, you know, when we started to see this, I was like, wow, this is really gonna look amazing. And you know, Sam, if you can pull up one of the pictures of the environments that you showed earlier. So they showed me a couple of options of environments that they think would look pretty sharp. And, like, I was like, oh, so it's not all done at the same time together. They're like, no, it's like there are all these levels of dimensions of, you know, how they scale these, you know, art pieces, basically. It's like they detail all the environments. And then once you get all the environments, then you can get here's like what one of the final versions of the shots look like. Wow. And it was just so, I mean, it's like you look at that and it just feels like, oh, this is such a mystical playground that I'd love to be in and hang out in. And that was the big thing too. It's like, you know, I just think so many parts of it were about finding the joys of nature, finding the joys of night. Even like something like I think about this all the time. Like, it's such a weird concept to animate light. But one thing I knew that I thought was gonna be a winning scenario was, you know, there's nothing more visual than flight and light. And I was like, if we can pull this off, it's going to be such a sweet story. And people are going to see that it's visually spectacular. And then the music is spectacular, especially working with Butch Taylor from Dave Matthews Band. And just, you know, and then on top of it, seeing how long it took. When I finally saw the final version, it was just like, oh, wow, this is crazy. So, you know, it's like we don't realize what goes into these animated movies that we see, these Disney films that we see, these Pixar, you know, amazing. Yeah. You know, and that's what I learned too. Like I thought music was tough, but when I see, you know, and when it was the same thing, even with this huge animation team, they said, "Oh my God, we made so much progress. We can't wait to show you this next scene." And again, I was like, "Oh my God, maybe it's going to be 30 seconds." And it was literally a scene of spark flying on a leaf. And that was it. It was 3 or 4 seconds. And it was an amazing 3 or 4 seconds. But I was like, okay, it's going to take a lot longer than we think it's going to. And that's the beautiful thing of how great it looks now when I see this. I look and savor every animated movement, every like twist of the firefly, every swoop of the fireflies. It's just,
you did a great job.
It's awesome. I mean, I can't take credit for it, but the thing is that it taught me is like, I think with any great art, things take time. And it's like, if you have the right team and creative team in place, it's like one of those things where you can make anything happen. And, you know, I think that's, and a big incentive for them to be on board with this was, I told him, I said, I eventually would love to make a movie with this, and I've got a team.
I see the full
feature. Yes. And so while it was being developed,
great, great concept for a full, blow it up into a full. Like,
I agree. And so the director, Jacob and I, along with two other really close friends of mine, Eddie Pence and Dave Jensen, we all four wrote a screenplay, and we basically started pitching it to networks and started pitching it to movie houses. And it was amazing to see, oh, people, you know, some responses would be like, oh, bugs aren't on our slate. And it's like, yo, you are so silly. Like, you're just going to regurgitate another idea of some toy that's already been around that nobody's going to be that, you know, overwhelmed by. But what makes this great is like, there's nothing like it. There's no movie about fireflies. There's
the concept, the story,
yes,
is inspiring.
Yes.
And so that's what you have to keep, you know, this is an inspiring story told through the bodies of bugs.
Yes.
Fireflies.
Yes.
You know, I mean, nobody's going to look at a firefly the same way again.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing too is like, I didn't know fireflies came out of a pupa. Like that's that little, you know, sack like a butterfly. Like,
they're amazing.
Yeah, and you have to learn some of that stuff to be able to do this in a convincing way. And so it's like, I know that most people are going to look at that first scene of the firefly coming out and go, oh, I didn't know that a firefly comes out of the same, you know, kind of a cocoon, you know, as like a caterpillar and a butterfly, you know, that same kind of thing. So it's like, you just kind of like learn that this is the way science works, and it should be imitated in, you know, life and art and be accurate. Otherwise, you know, it just doesn't have a truth source and a truth serum. So I think the story holds. Yeah, it's that's a big part of this.
The, you know, when they say it's, we don't need any bugs, we don't do any movies about bugs, you have to keep reminding them of what it's about, the truth source, the light source, that's, you know, the belief, the power of belief in yourself.
Yes.
You know, I mean, yes, he had to save his friends, and so his light went on. You know, that sort of Herculean thing that happens when you're in an emergency and you can lift a car. But, yep. You know, I mean, you could spread that. That's a much needed.
Well, the other thing, too, it's like, you know, with AI coming around the corner, we were seeing, oh man, like AI animation, AI is closer than we think. We better release this now while it's still current, relevant, and shows how hard it is to pull something like this off before everybody has an AI animated music video or a short or a feature-length film where they're using AI, and it's closer than we think. So that was another reason why I was like, we need to release this now. We need to release this. And the reason I'm also saying that is,
well, you have your own production company now.
Yes.
You can do it.
Well, the other thing too is like we're doing an animated AI video for my songwriting team. And when I started seeing that, I said, okay, we're gonna release this after we release Spark, because Spark has to be the first thing that goes out that's in the animated world, in the animated space, because we spent so long on it. It's so perfectly detailed that it has to be like, okay, we did this the right way. This is with real people animating all this stuff, not computers, and it's not no shortcuts.
Right.
So, but you know, the technology is there to make, you know, videos using AI, and the technology is there, so you can't ignore it completely. So there's like this give and take of like how and when we should release it or how we should create new things. And the big thing for me was like, the longer this sits in my Dropbox, the longer nobody's going to know that this was made years ago and we've been holding on to it. Because right before the pandemic, we actually got funding to make a full-length feature, and then the pandemic happened and it was like, okay, this is going to be broken down and crumbling to nothing again. But that's part of it. So part of the idea and the concept of releasing this is like, let's introduce the story so people see we have a story and there's a concept and there's characters, and then maybe there'll be enough fanfare that people say, this is amazing. And a studio will say, hey, we'll reconsider this idea. Maybe Bugs will be on our slate this year, you know? So that's the idea. It's like, we can kind of pave the way, you know?
If anybody can do it, Nikki, you can.
Well, you know, I'm very touched that you also, you get inspired by the things that I do. You know how hard it is to just like keep at this and kind of keep stirring the pots and stay like hustling. And yeah, I literally
handle a lot of different projects. And, you know, while you're pushing this and while you were working on this, you were also working on other things like a full length album, which nobody does. Hardly anybody's doing full length albums anymore because, you know, they're doing EPs or one-offs because it's just easier to do the video for a one-off. And nobody's really buying CDs anymore. You know, so people are downloading song. Not really, you know, so, but what I'm saying is you know what it is to be creative, and you keep juggling all of these different projects while this was getting done. I had no idea you started this years ago.
Nobody knew.
This was like brand new yesterday.
No, and the funny thing is like we actually finished it, I think, in 2019. Wow. So I've been holding this for five or 6 years, which is like a crazy card to have in your back pocket.
Why because did you hold
it we so were long? Pitching it. We were pitching it to film houses. We were trying to find the right, you know, movie industry executives to kind of see that we've kind of developed this concept. We got all the trademarks for the video. For the movie, we got the screenplay. We did a lot of really smart things.
And then when it wasn't picked up, you said, let's just release the video.
Yeah, we basically held onto it for another couple of years and said, let's keep pitching it. And then the industry, you know this, with all the strikes, the industry's changed so much.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's all becoming like so that studio executives can make more money and you know, and like they want to see smaller budgets, which is crazy to me. It's like, you know what? There's a difference between good and great. And there's a, like, you know, when I grew up, the animated movies and the, you know, like Toy Story was such a novel approach to making movies. And it's like, you just can't take shortcuts for certain things. It's just not going to work because, you know, you can make something shorter, but you can't make something better by cutting corners and, you know, making it look like, oh yeah, we can patch it up this way. It just does not work. It's like, I think you can make art that is affordable and it doesn't have to be a double record or a 10 painting piece. You can do it in a very simple way, but it has to be done and executed in a way that is professional and
professional
beautiful
and
artistic and creative and has a message of some
quality.
Sort.
Quality.
Yes.
This has quality.
Yes.
I know that animation, you know, I've seen, you know, movies about people who do animation and it's literally one card at a time.
Right.
And it's painstaking. And they have a group, you know, they have a whole crew working. And the final product is gorgeous. How did they, do you know how they came up with, do they do that with this video? Did they do it one frame at a time? Is that why it took so long?
Yes. There's a different way that they do it. I'm like,
it's
that's
so
part of the
good.
Process you don't see because they're overseas, obviously. But they had a bunch of people working on it. And they would basically assign, okay, you're going to be the person that animates the legs flying onto the leaf. Okay, you're going to be the person that does the wings flapping. And you're going to be the person that does the eyeballs. So, like, every little detail's done. Like, it's not one person working on a whole Firefly. It's teams of people working on little details that all have to work together. And it's really crazy when you see, like, where it came from. Like, it came from a sketch to a model. From the model, it came to a full 3D. They would have the characters, and they'd turn them around so we could see every part of the Firefly.
Amazing.
And it was amazing to see, like, oh, wow, we have to approve every single part of this, because once it gets approved and they put it in there, then it's about the movement and making sure that's done. So it was really, I mean, and here's the other thing. This is what a lot of people don't know. And I'm so glad that they told me this. They said, you know, I asked, you know, the animation team, I said, hey, how does it work with the movies? You know, and this is shocking to me. They said, you know, a lot of the people that actually work on animated films don't even get credited for the work they did. How it works is because there's only a finite amount of time and credits that they can put, they put all the senior partners on the project. So I wrote to them and I said, I'm not going to do that. I want to make sure everybody that works on this gets credited for whatever they did. You guys are in charge of the credits, which no studio would ever do. Like, they just say, okay, you got this much space, just give me the names that you need. And that's why. So a lot of times these animated movies that you see, the real animators that are making the stuff aren't even listed. And it's senior partners in these animation companies because they don't have the room or the space. So I made sure every person that you see on this is credited, because I'm like, if you put in the time to this, put something in this, like something I love, and I get to also enjoy and share this with people that I love, I want your names on there. And we also dedicated the video to the first animator that passed away.
Yeah,
so it was like, I never met him. We never had a phone conversation. Yeah. We never even emailed, but it was the right thing to do. He sacrificed, you know, so much of time and energy and wasn't able to finish it and, you know, follow through with it, but we got it done. So, you know, it's a victory, and I'm so glad the world gets to enjoy it right now. And it's been such an amazing experience just to see people enjoying it. It's up to 6,000 views on TikTok. It's, I think, awesome. 2,400 on YouTube. So it's like just getting this small little momentum when there's so much media and so much content being thrown at us. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to see something.
If you can have so many people, hundreds of, you know, up to the thousands, even maybe millions of people looking at this, just that's the other part of the business, is just you have to keep putting it out there that you have this so that people will know and they'll look at it and they'll hit it and you get the hits.
That's the idea. And it's it's weird because we have to, you know, as creators, we have to promote our own works. Right. And, you know, we don't have those same budgets.
It's like a life of its own.
Yes. But it's really amazing to see how people are sharing it. And, you know, like, I have these certain metrics, like with Fade Away, we had 8,000 real views. And when I did a concert for an album release for Revolutions, we had 1,000 people watch these solo acoustic performances, you know, for the release of the record when there was nothing going on in the world. And that to me was huge too. So for us, we got 2,000 views or 1,900 views yesterday. And I was like, this is double what we did during the pandemic.
On this video.
So but it's cool to see that.
We're getting close to what you wanted to be the end. So I just want to make sure that people know where to find you, because you put a lot of stuff up on Facebook, but I know you're not just on Facebook.
Yes. I love that. Look at you. You're such a pro, Diane.
All the usual platforms. I know TikTok is a big one.
So I'm on Nikki Kahrula, NikiKorula on Facebook. And my YouTube channel for this animated video is NJK1227. That's my personal page that I've been doing all my band stuff. I also have at Sight and Sound Show, a new YouTube series that, you know, I'm directing and producing. And then on TikTok, I think I'm N Kahrula on TikTok. And we're releasing Spark on all the platforms. We're just putting it out everywhere so that we just have as many people see it, no matter what you're on, no matter what you subscribe to, whatever it is, if it's social media, if it's Instagram, if it's TikTok, if it's Facebook, it's on there. And we're just letting the whole world see it. So share it, send it to people. And, you know, let's keep sharing the light and sharing the love.
Share the light, share the spark, everybody.
That's right. Diane, you are so awesome.
Share it.
That's right. Thank you so much for doing this. You know, you're my first call for these because you are a good interviewer. And
I'll be looking for the chocolate and the wine.
It's coming. You know it's coming. No, absolutely, it's coming. I was going to text you that. You ruined the surprise, but I'm definitely sending you.
Sorry about that. I saw the truck go by. It was the middle of the summer. And I was like, that's my wine. My chocolates are on that truck. And I chased that truck.
Well, I remember when you finally got it, you're like, I got the wine. I got the chocolate. I'm like, you have deserved this more than the chocolate
was all melted. And I was like, that's okay. It tastes good. Yeah, I was like, it was.
Well, I'll make sure you get some chocolate and wine again. So don't worry, it's coming. But thank you for taking the time to interview me.
I don't want anything but you, your music, and your love and your spirit.
You got all of that. You got all of that. And I appreciate
you. The air that I breathe, and I love you.
I love you too. Thank you so much for interviewing me for this project. This is a special thing, and I hope the world takes more of it in.
Giving us your light and your love. Spark, you. Everybody.
Likewise. And check out Diane Kane. Where can people find you online? Where can people find your music, Diane?
I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place.
You're everywhere and all over the world.
Just Google my name and all of the – it'll all come up. It'll all be revealed.
Diane Kane, D-Y-A-N-K-A-N-E. Check her out. A fantastic singer, an amazing artist. And you need to be hiring her for film work too, because she does it all. You know, you're like a triple threat. That's right. That's right.
Watch out.
That's right. Boom, boom, boom. Well, thank you, Diane, for interviewing me. I appreciate you. Lots of love.
All right.
We'll talk soon. On behalf of Sam, myself, Diane, we'll see you guys next week. Keep the spark alive. Okay. Cheers. Peace.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.